Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right is Ed Maher. Good morning, Ed.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Just getting over Valentine's Day.
You're getting over it?
I'm getting over it. I've been over it for a long time, but I'm still getting over it.
Yeah. And you, Phil. Phil from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Phil, how was your Valentine's Day?
It was great.
You loved it?
Yep.
So, you know, we have Tim Dre coming in today from the Illinois AFL-CIO.
And Francis Arenick.
Francis Arenick.
I don't know why this is so hard.
I don't know.
Francis Arenick.
Francis O.
Friend of the show. Francis previous O. guest. She's been here a couple times.
No, they're super cool. And they always, like, you know, they come in here and they're like, oh, see, these people are giving me hope, right? Because they ran the Workers' Rights Amendment, you know, things like that. And so, anyway, I'm stoked to have them in. But let's talk about a couple of things that are going on in the world. And let's start local.
Okay.
Cook County State's Attorneys.
Yes.
The greatest thing in the world. They're organizing again. And they tried, I want to say it was the 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
It was like 98, 95, 98, something like that.
It was sometime early. And you know how I know this? Because Local 150, when I was an attorney at 150, we represented state's attorneys in Rock Island. And you know why we represented them? They gave us voluntary recognition. You know why they gave us voluntary recognition? Because we had no right to actually organize, I believe, which they always held over our head. But they said that these are the state's attorneys, that we're going to strike. And you know what the judges did? The judges said, they walk out, we don't cross their picket line.
No way.
Yeah.
And that's power,
and
baby.
Voila. We had voluntary recognition, and it also helped that the state's attorney was a former operating engineer.
But that was the only county that you had?
It's the only county, I think, in the entire state.
Really?
That have the state's attorneys, not the defenders. The public defenders get to be union, but the state's attorneys, they say, are quote-unquote managerial.
Right. Yes. So, Ken, what you're talking about is, I mean, there's an argument that these employees have a lot of discretion.
Yes.
And so that they fall under the category of management. And that's been used against them in organizing drives for many years. But
yes.
Now the Teamsters Local 700 that is organizing them or making the move to organize them is saying that under the Illinois Workers' Rights Amendment, they have the constitutional right to organize.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you know what? And just like ICOPS, who just joined the coalition, are making the argument that they have the right to organize supervisors, et cetera. The Workers' Rights Amendment does not.
Yeah, it doesn't make a distinction. It says employees. Yeah.
Yeah.
And compared to the rest of the legal profession, state's attorneys are pretty low paid, correct?
Well, right.
It's funny you should say that. Yeah. There was a point in time where our Rock Island County state's attorneys, and they were like 20 of them, were making more than the Cook County state's attorneys because we had a collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it was like, it was crazy. I don't know what the pay scale is now. I know it's not a lot of money, and I know it's a place where attorneys go and they cut their teeth. Get great trial work, you know, great experience, litigation.
Yeah, work 80 hours a week, and you do it for 2-3 years,
yeah,
and you go get a job, you know.
At a firm.
Right.
Yeah, and tons of them do it. But they're organizing now. I think it's interesting. And once again, kudos to the Teamsters. I give it to them because we talked about them not putting all their eggs in one basket. Here's a Teamster local that, you know, Teamster 700 does a lot of blue-collar folks, right? Uh-huh. They also do corrections officers, things like that. Now they're moving into attorneys. That's got to be driving AFSCME crazy.
Yeah, sure.
I would imagine it. I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Well, and these workers want a union. I mean, they've got more than half of the card signed, and they're looking for voluntary recognition. And I think it's probably not going to be given, but, you know.
I wonder how many there are.
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah, hundreds. There's a lot. And I think that's one of their arguments, Ed, but I also think that they have made the argument that they're not really managerial. They have to follow certain rules, right?
Right.
They have a certain amount of cases. They have discretion up to a certain point as to, you know, what I can settle for, what I can't, et cetera. So I think they're just regular employees. I think they deserve a union, and I love the fact that they're going after it. So we're going to report on that.
Cool.
So we'll be right back with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we are stoked today, as we stated at the top of the hour, to have the great Illinois AFL-CIO President Tim Dre. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And Francis Arenick.
Perfect.
And what's your title?
Legislative Director.
All right. So you're in charge of what? Like, what do you do?
Dealing with all the lobbying and things like that in Springfield for all the affiliates. So.
And you came on, if I'm not mistaken, you were like, were you in charge of the Workers' Rights Amendment in terms of legislation?
I was the coalition's director on the Workers' Rights Amendment.
Got it.
So connecting with community organizations.
And that was like a coalition of pretty much every union in the state?
All of labor and quite a few associated groups, sure. Equality Illinois and other groups that just came on board and said this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that may not remember, we literally started right before the vote was taken. So the Workers' Mic started at like just a few months right before.
Yeah, we were in like September 2022.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then
it got passed.
And then it got passed.
Right after our show.
Hmm. Once again, yeah. I mean, that was our
coincidence?
First.
Coincidence? Yeah. I think maybe not.
First victory.
Interesting timing.
Yeah. But I think that was the sole reason for the show.
Yeah.
Be quiet, Ben.
But it got passed. Explain what the Workers' Rights Amendment is and does for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, Tim, feel free to hop in.
Well, I was actually talking to Tim. No. I was just looking at
you're
you.
You're looking at me.
No, okay. I'm kidding. Got it. Which one?
It was your
baby.
Yeah, so it enshrined the right to collectively bargain and organize in the Illinois Constitution. So it makes sure that, you know, right to work, threats, things like that can't happen here in Illinois.
It's awesome. Has it been challenged yet?
No.
Okay.
No. It guaranteed everybody to work a safe workplace, banned right to work, and really most importantly with what's going on in Washington,
yeah.
It's a no regression on the rights that our ancestors fought and won in the past 100 years. Child labor, 8-hour day,
right.
Things that we take for granted,
yeah.
They're protected now.
That'll get rolled, and that'll get rolled back all over the place right now, right?
I remember when it came out, people were saying, oh, why does Illinois need this? We got super majorities. Like, here you go. Case in point, why it's needed.
I mean, exactly. Look at Utah. Yeah. Utah's like, you can have your unions.
Yeah.
We are just banning public bodies from recognizing them.
Yeah. Boy, so. they are fuming right now. And I heard that there's a move to have the governor veto it, number one. And number two, there's another move to have them do like a Scott Walker 50% every year recertify thing or something like that to kind of water this down. Because these Republicans that... you know, and we're digressing here a little bit, but the Republicans obviously, you know, ran this thing through, but the majority of members, union members in Utah voted Republican.
Oh, sure. I'm
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like hard.
It's Utah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any Democrats there.
Right? I never met one.
Well, I think they're the ones that come in to ski, right?
Yeah. Wait,
have you ever been to Utah?
I have been to Utah.
It's in Montana.
Utah's beautiful.
It's in Montana, right?
That's right. You are still unclear on the states.
Yeah, whatever.
Separate states, Utah and Montana.
Not, hey,
for now.
Separate states for now. Exactly.
Actually, can we get a map in here? We got to get a map on wheels. We can just roll in whenever this happens.
We should probably at some point get to talk about like actually why you're here. So let's talk about transportation and tell us... what's the issue? What's going on? What can we do to fix it?
They've got a new coalition they assembled for the upcoming fiscal cliff.
Is that right?
That's going to affect all of mass transit and rapid transit and across metropolitan Chicago.
So let's start with what's the issue?
The issue is they're after the COVID money, mm-hmm. After COVID, ridership was down, and public funding, we lost that to prop up the systems, and ridership is coming back up, but not to the degree of where it was.
Right.
So there's going to be a $750 million to $800 million budget hole to move people to and from work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the simple part of it.
On all transit,
Metra, Pace, CTA, and the regional, the northeast region of Illinois.
Yep.
And so we got to fix that. And so there were 30 unions, 15,000 workers in Illinois in this region work in public transit, moving people to and from work, to school, and entertainment.
Right.
And so those 15,000 people, 30 local unions, we brought them together and formed the Labor Alliance for Public Transportation.
Okay.
And said, let's draft a bill. And with the help of ALEPI, Illinois Economic Policy Institute, and others.
Great friends of ours.
Yes. We drafted a bill And Francis is here to talk about that bill.
All right, so let's talk about it. What's in the bill?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we have heard from the General Assembly is that there is no funding without reform. And so reform has been a huge topic of discussion.
And what does reform mean? Like, when they hear the word reform, I mean, come on, that's a mamby-pamby nebulous word for whatever they want at the moment, right? So what does reform mean?
Great question. So we've
thank
seen
you, thank you. Thanks for that positive reinforcement, by the way.
I also thought it was a good question.
Yeah, anybody else? Yeah.
He might pronounce your name correctly now. Not you.
There we go.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
So what we've seen is that there's a few different approaches to reform. The earlier, last spring, some advocate groups came out with consolidation of the three agencies as reform. The, you know, Labor Alliance for Public Transit.
So when you say three agencies.
Yeah. Metra, okay. CTA, and PACE, merging that all into one agency.
Okay.
That is not the approach that we've heard from our affiliates. That's not the approach that we think would work for Chicago. And that's, you know, not the approach that we're taking during our bill and in our reforms. And so we're looking at ensuring that the RTA has more power, more oversight, more control over the systems, and making sure that the service boards are still able to preserve their unique ability to move people back and forth.
And the RTA is?
The Regional Transit Authority.
And is that the umbrella organization for all three agencies that you just discussed?
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Very good. I sued them once, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, in Loves Park.
Did you lose?
Do my Ed, please.
Well, did you win? I thought you would have mentioned if you won.
Of course
won.
I won.
Okay. Gosh. Congratulations.
On appeal.
I don't know if I sued them, but we had some fight with them or something.
That may or may not have
They were getting rid of the buses in Loves Park. And it was like, you know, city with a heart. And like, city with a heart, but no bus.
You can't ride a heart to work.
I'm not kidding. This was a long time ago. So anyway, and so where are we at right now in the process?
So we have dropped our bill with Senator Ron Villivalem in the Senate and then Leader Marcus Evans in the House.
Okay.
And so this is, you know, the bill that we have worked on, as Tim said, with the Alliance over the past 4 or 5 months, drafting, going through each topic. So looking at safety, looking at governance structure, looking at, you know, fares, how the fare box recovery ratio, which is, you know, the amount of fares that the systems are required to generate.
Mm-hmm. And ours is really high.
Yes.
Right? Compared to other states.
High.
Ours is 50%.
Yeah. What does that mean?
So 50% of the budget needs to come from fares, correct?
Yeah. As opposed to what?
New York is like 20%.
And the rest comes from what? Taxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Government.
Okay.
I mean, because the question is like, do you want to have rapid and mass transit in your city? And I think a lot of people would say, yeah. I mean, can you imagine if there was no Metra and no CTA in Chicago? It would, you know, we would be no different than
Utah.
Salt Lake City. Yeah. It's such an asset. We talk about it. I mean, I take Metra downtown all the time to get to work, to go see concerts, whatever it may
be. Well, doesn't it? Like,
and then not to mention, it's like schools, people going to the hospitals. Like, you got to have it.
And there's a multiplier, I think, too. For every dollar that government puts into transit, you get a certain return on that money. And with something like transit and the way that it allows people to get to work and spurs economic activity, that multiplier has got to be enormous. It's got to be among the best money that government can spend.
Absolutely.
It's amazing that, you know, the people that use transit on a day-to-day basis to get to and from work. And, you know, there's a lot of employers that make a lot of money by having workers get to their work sites.
Of course.
Economically.
Of course.
You know, so those factories in DuPage County, Will County, Lake County, they are using a lot of people from the Chicago neighborhoods
to
make a lot of money.
Right.
And
you would think they would get behind this.
They absolutely should get behind this.
And are they? Like, what's their, like,
well, we haven't really heard from the business community yet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll be chirping in very, very shortly. But, you know, it's all about moving people safely, economically, and easily.
So what's the, so they're saying there's a $750 million shortfall in terms of all three agencies, right? And how are we going to make up that money? Like, what's the proposal? Like, how are you guys?
We haven't really put revenue on the table yet. There's a lot of stress, and we don't know, especially with the administration in Washington. So there's a lot of stress on the Illinois state budget, and we're going to look at all kinds of revenue to try to figure out how to do this to where we're fair to everybody, and it, you know, the cost doesn't fall. I mean, we're going to advocate that the cost doesn't fall on the back of workers because they're already paying at the fare box. So, you know, that's our main thing is.
I have an idea. Like, maybe Amazon that lives here, maybe they could pay.
But I will say this:
Amazon, they could just drive people to work.
Yeah, right.
I will say this: we will not absolutely not touch the road fund to fund mass transit. That is easy to say.
You just read my mind.
Yeah. On the record.
We have a lockbox, if you will.
That will absolutely...
But maybe it's time to get a lockbox for transit?
Well, I mean, that will be part of the reforms, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I think that we'll be talking about that. We have to raise revenue. People have a right to know that it's going to be used for a specific instance. And I think it's easier to raise it for politicians to take the vote when they say this is going to this program and only this program, legislator will say, okay,
You're 100% right. I mean, there's been so much research back when they did the lockbox amendment for transportation that taxpayers are happy to fund these things as long as they know that that is where the money is going to go and it's not going to get swept out to do research on tree frogs or, you know, whatever, or fill a budget hole someplace else.
Right, exactly.
So... what is next steps? The bill is done, filed?
It's been introduced.
Yeah, it's been introduced.
So does it go to committee? Explain that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So this bill is out there now for discussion, I think. We're probably looking at having a subject matter hearing in the Senate to, get into the specifics, hear the bill out, see where it is. And then we anticipate, in pretty intense negotiations throughout the entire spring session after, all the other advocates and all the other folks that are addressing this problem are at the same table.
So the funding runs out end of May?
I believe July.
July, okay.
26.
You got a little time to figure this out.
But we got to raise, you have to raise that money. It takes a year to raise the money. So there's a lot of, I'm going to say fingers in this pie because we have the city, we have the county, we have municipalities, we have the transit systems, we have labor, business, and all everybody's going to have to come into a room and pound this bill out to look for compromises.
Is there federal money involved in this?
But really, it is really state funded.
Okay. Which, by the way, state and local funding. It's probably better for us anyway because we don't need to deal with that.
Something tells me federal funding is going to slow down.
Yeah. So Elon Musk, little kid, is going to veto it.
He's probably going to get put in charge of the RTA.
and you want to see a universal fare card, right? At some point that you could any card gets you on Metra, CTA, Pace, whatever.
Yeah, making it a seamless system.
Yeah, that's how they do it in Europe. Yep. Yes. Yeah,
I mean that makes sense. And so I think was it last week we had Sarah Lyons from Unite here, and they're talking about an issue that they have going on with the Cass Hotel. But you got to realize that the workers that come downtown to work at these hotels, they're not driving downtown,
right?
No. Right, and even if they have a car. And some don't, by the way. You can't park down here, right?
Yeah.
So they have to take the train, right? You have to take public transportation. That's how they get to and from work.
Think about just the impact on traffic. I mean, we're already number two worst city in the country for delays in traffic. It's,
is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And
behind, L.A.?
I think New York's number one.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, woo!
Right. But, now take all these people.
All right.
Take away CTA and Metro from them. It's going to get it worse. You got to have it.
Wait a second. And more roads?
and let me say this
more
also.
Congestion.
But policymakers and business interests and things like that, a lot of those folks, if they take transit, it's a choice. It's not a necessity. There are a lot of people who rely on these systems who would be in a very desperate spot without them. So we have to, remember.
It's a necessity, right?
Yeah, we have to think on this from the mindset of someone who needs it.
Yes.
All right. Listen, we'll take a quick break. Do you guys mind sticking around? Because I want to talk about some kind of broader issues, what's going on in the country, and hear from, the illustrious Illinois AFL-CIO, which I think is the only actually functioning one in the country. Is that right?
It's the finest one I know of.
It's the best one I know of.
Affiliate.
We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic, right here on 720 WGN. We are still here with Tim and Francis, and we almost finished talking about what's going on with transportation. What's the name of this coalition?
So this coalition is the Labor Alliance for Public Transit, and the bill is the United We Move legislation.
United We Move.
I like that.
Sounds like a dance party.
Right?
Right.
I'm down. I'll go.
Yeah, we need a theme song.
Divided, we stand still.
Mm-hmm.
United We Move. That's good. That makes sense. And is there a website? Can people go, like, where can people go and find some more information about this?
Absolutely. United We Move is our website. And, you know, folks can...
Is it .org or .com?
I believe it's .com.
Okay.
And, yeah, we're, you know... Find out more about us there. There's a lot of, you know, fun facts, things like that. You can see a list of all the coalition members.
Okay.
Get more information on the fiscal cliff and labor solution.
It's like, is the city, like, does the city here in Chicago, obviously has to be one of the bigger players. Is the city taking a position in this? Is the city saying, like, hey, you know, we're going to try and help fund the money. We're going to find it. You know, because they have so much public transportation here, obviously. Like, what's the city's position, meaning City of Chicago? What are they saying?
Well, we actually spoke with the city yesterday, with the chief of staff and the policy director, and you know, they agree with us that it's, you know, it's paramount to be able to get people from the neighborhoods to downtown and to the industrial areas safely and economically. So they want to work with us.
Good.
Very, very closely to come up with a solution that works for Chicagoans.
And are they part of the funding mechanism? Like, do they have to kick in as well?
Well, there's money from the city, the CTA and the fare box recovery, and
got
of course
it.
You know, and you know, Phil, you said something about hotel workers a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, the safety aspect is, you know, they're getting off, they're on train platforms maybe 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We want those people to be safe.
Yeah.
We have construction workers going downtown at 4 o'clock in the morning.
For sure.
We want, and with thousands of dollars of tools sometimes, we want them to be safe. And so safety not the, is
not the, not the operators. We just come down and, like, we get in the machine.
Thousands of dollars worth of lunch.
Ouch. But yeah, well, so what does that mean? Nice. It means more transit cops, more cops, right? More police, you know, not less, like, you know, mayor, not freezing, hiring mayor, maybe giving them a contract mayor, you know, maybe getting some ambulances mayor. Giving the firefighters a contract mayor, you know, like all this kind of stuff. I think it all feeds into each other. So anyway, you've got a coalition. If you want to get involved, you know, if you're listening, what should people do? Should they just contact their legislator? Like, explain.
We will always support that. If folks want to contact their legislators and tell them that they support, you know, a fully funded public transit system in northeastern Illinois with a dedicated revenue stream, and they support United We Move and the labor-backed legislation, we will welcome that any day.
And especially, I think, people that need it, right? I mean, we want to hear from people that take the train, that take the bus, that take public transportation every single day to and from work because they need to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Without it, they don't have a
nurses,
job.
Teachers, healthcare workers.
Look at all the people that work at the airports, right? And, you know, those are running 24/7s. And, you know, so, you know, I don't know. It's just, you got to... There's certain things in life that you have to fund. I think this is one of them.
Absolutely.
So find the money, right? Yeah. Borrow it from Doge or something.
They're finding a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
They're finding it in our pocket.
And they're going to give it all back to themselves in tax cuts.
Can't Elon just write a check?
We've identified fraud and we're going to commit fraud.
We're going to take your money. Look over here. My hand's in your wallet, but look over here.
There's too much government waste. You know what? Let's make Rod Blagojevich ambassador to Serbia. Like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
By the way, wasn't he like as dem can be? I don't understand that. I just don't.
He was on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was?
I remember when he was on there, you know, Trump was like, I don't know anything about your case, but you seem like an honest guy. And everybody in Illinois is like, excuse me, we'd like to weigh in on this.
No.
Yeah, he said it on the phone, Donald. They recorded it.
Well, Donald said it on the phone, too, and he got away with it.
Turns out Blagojevich was innocent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's switch. Let's talk big picture for a second, Tim. We have a government that right now seems to be a bit of a train wreck. But in terms of workers, right, we have the National Labor Relations Board that has been basically decimated in terms of...
It can't function currently. It can do
doesn't
absolutely
have a quorum.
Nothing, right?
Right.
It's and a non-functional board.
So what do you think about that? I mean, you're a state federation.
Yeah, you know, this is... you know, we have organizing drives going on, and the Hard Rock Casino in Rockford just organized this past week, won 2-3 elections.
Yep.
And, you know, the NLRB is the overriding force to make sure that everything was done right, and that the company, Hard Rock in this case, will negotiate with the workers and stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, it's nothing, right?
Because
this is, it's a travesty that that the government, that, you know, the NLRB was set up to protect working people. And
protect they, commerce, yes, and business, yes, right? I mean, it was a happy medium.
Right. To keep everybody talking and moving right along, keep workplace peace.
Yeah.
And it's all gone.
So what do we do? Like, is there a move in Illinois that says, you know what, we're going to take over the administration of collective bargaining? Because if there's no collective bargaining law, or it's the board is unconstitutional, doesn't that leave a void, a vacuum?
Yeah, there's because of preemption and things like that, right? State and federal law.
Yes,
we are looking into that, but it's very, 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 very delicate to what we can absolutely do.
The state can't do it because there's a federal body to do it. The federal body is currently out of service.
And refuses to do it. Yes. Yeah.
And actually has already said that we really shouldn't exist. So there is no federal body. So I feel like there's a move where somebody steps in, or the state steps in and says, okay, we're going to now take control of collective bargaining for not only public sector employees but private sector. And what's the worst that can happen is they sue us, and we say, okay, you sue us, but we have no alternative, right? Because there is a National Labor Relations Act, but there's nobody enforcing it. Right. So they're not saying the National Labor Relations Act is unconstitutional, right?
Yeah,
they haven't said that yet.
This sounds like a states' rights issue to me. Why not kick it back to the states?
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah. Enough of this big government.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't need this big government telling us what to do.
Yeah.
Tim Dre, head of the Illinois
Good luck, Utah.
Labor Relations Board.
I like it.
Yeah. Actually, there is an Illinois Labor Relations Board.
Illinois State Labor Relations Board.
But there's a state one.
Yeah, for public sector employees, yeah.
So let me ask you, as a leader, and you've been, how long have you been in this world?
I've been in this role 5 years, been in the labor movement as an officer of a labor organization since 1988.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
Wow.
Remember 1988, OG. Francis?
Right, right.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
not even close.
Not even close.
So, you know, are you concerned with the state of the country and our workers, you know, like what's going on at the moment?
Yeah. You know, of course, I came in, got involved in the labor movement, after Reagan fired the air traffic controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, at that time, young 30-year-old man or whatever, it's like, it can't get any worse. You know? Oof. And it's like, yeah, right.
We're screaming
backwards.
You know,
through the years, it's just, just every year, it's just a little bit more, a little bit more. And we fought back. Workers' Rights Amendment, we stood up, we fought back, you know. And Illinois is doing a pretty good job because we have great labor culture in this state.
We do.
But, you know, it's like the little guy, you know, putting his finger in the dike, you know, it's holding back those headwaters from
and we need to get forces. What you guys did with the Workers' Rights Amendment, you know, I think, you know, everywhere I go, right, because of the National Coalition of Labor, we've been traveling a lot, and part of the reason that we exist was to fight right to work, right, and to make it more valuable to be in a union. And so we go places, and, you know, I can't help but brag a little bit and go like, and by the way, you know, we have a Workers' Rights Amendment and the collective bargaining is enshrined in our Constitution. And people are like, what? Like, yeah, it's in our Constitution. Like,
no big deal.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You know, that's what we got going on.
It takes a little doing.
But, you know, you go around right now, right? And you could see, like, you know, even in the labor leaders, like some of the fear, like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? And we're trying to say this, and I'm going to say this not just to you guys here in this room, but everybody that's listening, which is, don't worry, right? Labor's been around for 150 years, 200 years, probably longer, right? Meaning working people have always been around. We're not going anywhere, and nothing happens without the workers at the end of the day, period, the end. And at some point, you know, people will realize that everything that's going on in Washington, in my humble opinion, is a bait and switch, a distraction. Look over here, trans bathrooms, DEI, whatever the cause of the day is, to make sure that they take as much as possible from us, and eventually workers are going to get sick of it. So I say, don't worry about it. And not just don't worry about it, but fight back, right? Stand up, fight back. Do the things that the Illinois AFL-CIO is doing. Do the things that, you know, some of the stronger unions are doing out there. Do the things that the coalition is doing, you know. And I go around the country and I hear other people doing, like, we're doing this and we're doing this. Great. Do that. Fight back. Like, get on the offense for change. not like, like you said, Tim, like constant finger in the dam. Let's take the fingers out of the dam, you know, and let's just get together and like just push the ball forward. Just do it, anything. Just try other, just try stuff, right?
Amen.
Thank you. That's my soapbox.
Are you running for president?
I'm running for president announcing? Of the AFL-CIO.
That was, that was moving.
Not the Illinois, the national.
National.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to announce that later. Don't worry about it. Yeah. All right, listen, thank you guys so much for coming in on Sunday. Thank you for your support and all your hard work. You guys are really like top-notch, and we're very proud of what you guys do for labor and for us, and constantly being on the front line of this is really, really important.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank
thanks. Thanks very much, and we will be right back with more of The Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers Mike, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We've got to get a couple of quick things out. We got more stuff to talk about than we have time, so we're parsing this. But here in Chicago, a beer called Yingling. They are from Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they just made inroads into Chicago.
First time it's ever been sold here.
And all of a sudden, you see their beer now at every single bar in Chicago. And they blanketed it at once. So it's not special. You just walk in every place, and it's just like Budweiser. There's Yingling. You know what the bad thing about it is?
I know. The son of the owner is single-handedly funding the push to make Pennsylvania a right-to-work state. Every year, a right-to-work bill appears. He's always behind it.
What does he care?
I don't know.
But what does he care? Because you know what? They don't have unions. You know why? They broke their union in the early 2000s. Broke them.
Oh, boo.
Maybe it was the 1990s. It was somewhere in that. They had Teamsters in there, and they broke the union. So to this day, people boycott that beer.
And Chicago has too much great beer.
Yeah, what do we need
to
that?
Drink that?
What do we need that for?
I had no clue. I will never drink Yingling again.
That's what I like to hear, Phil. Yeah.
It is a whatever. It's so.
It's not even that great a beer.
No,
either. People go nuts for it. Like, oh, just because it's exotic, you can't
people
find
discovered.
It.
It's like Coors used to be.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, oh my God, Coors.
I'm going to drive to Colorado.
Yeah, I did once.
I bet you did.
I did. I got there on a Sunday and the plant was closed.
Oh man,
stupidest thing.
Poor
I ever did.
Planning.
Yeah, it was
Mr.
poor planning.
Edwards.
So anyway, so Yingling. Yeah,
it's official.
Everybody knows that.
That's right? Official.
Yeah, no Yingling. What else we got? There's a ton of stuff, but
yeah. In over the course of the past week, the project labor agreements.
Okay, what is that?
A project labor agreements assures that large projects will be done by union labor. If it's like a multi-year project, it's very advantageous because it also guarantees there will be no strikes, there will be no lockouts,
no work stoppages.
Yeah. So the customer, which in this case is the government, has assurances. The workers have assurances. So every project over $35 million had project labor agreements or PLAs put on them under President Biden.
Right. It was put in kind of late in his.
It was
term, right?
Yeah, it was in 2022.
Yeah, I remember.
And those have just been eliminated for the Department of Defense, for NASA, and for GSA, the General Services Administration, and you know any Department of Energy. Those PLAs are going to be going away as well, which is
completely eliminated. No, yes. Not a new
bam.
Funding threshold. Just
bam.
Done.
Yeah, okay. The funding threshold was everything over $35 million, which are big projects.
Right.
Yeah.
That's been banned.
Okay.
So union workers who are working on those projects or were looking forward to working on those projects, the security of that is less. It's just gone down. So, you know, and it's an
executive directly
branch.
Directly affecting union members. Union members, right?
Directly affecting their ability to work.
Yes. No kidding. Exactly right. So now they're going to get bid against non-union, you know, unscrupulous contractors, people that pay, you know, garbage wages.
Yep. Like if Halliburton wants to scoop up a bunch of folks from Louisiana and pay them, you know, $12 an hour
for whatever to build,
any kind of construction.
But here, you know, I'm going to go back.
But it's not across the board. It's only certain agencies for right now.
Well, right now the PLAs are only in place in certain agencies,
okay.
And I think the ones that remain are Department of Energy and maybe Department of Transportation. But
okay.
I'm sure those are going to.
Yeah, this week it was Department of Defense, NASA, and General Services Administration.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right. That's exactly right. What else we got, Ed?
They've named a nominee for the head of OSHA. Trump has picked his nominee for the head of OSHA, which I think is under, you know, like they're trying to get rid of OSHA. I know a bill was introduced to eliminate OSHA.
I can only
OSHA.
Assume it's someone who's very focused on worker safety.
It has
you know,
to be. Right?
You're right in that his name is David Keening. And he's formerly the head of safety at Amazon. And he's very focused on workers' safety in that, like, he wants to minimize workers' safety.
Oh, the other way.
Okay. Yeah, there was a case, a couple, I think in 2023, where a 20-year-old in a fulfillment center was killed. Like, a piece of equipment fell on him.
That's funny? Like, you're chuckling about that.
No. That's not funny at all. But the state of Indiana decided that Amazon had to pay $7,000 for this 20-year-old's life. And who was the head of safety at Amazon at that time?
This guy.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It seems to be that whoever hates that department the most gets the job of running that department.
That seems to be the pattern.
Right?
Yeah.
So, go ahead. You know, tear OSHA down, too. You know, continue to tear down the government in the name of, I don't know what, you know, efficiency, which makes zero sense whatsoever. This is really all about the money, of course, because if there's no regulations, companies can get to do whatever they want.
Well,
and by the way, they kind of get to do whatever they want now anyway.
And just briefly, the Department of Government Efficiency's goal is to try to find $2 trillion in wasteful spending, which mostly is going to come from Americans' health care. But in order to save $2 trillion so that we can spend $3.5 trillion on tax cuts.
Right.
I don't know who's going to get those tax cuts, but I'm guessing I'm not going to get any tax cuts. So you're not saving any money when it's all going out the door for tax cut.
So we got a couple minutes left. Real quick, listener of the week, I want to shout out to Zach. He is a roofer, super good guy, friend of the show, listener of the show. So, hey, be careful out there, especially when you are up on the roofs, and especially in the wintertime, things are really slippery. I want to end on just a tiny, tiny little soapbox. Next week, by the way, remind me, I want to talk about this new AFL-CIO initiative called the Department of Working People. And
if you can't beat them, join them.
And if you think, I thought it was a joke when I first saw it. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But I want to say this, and I want to make this clear, that I read something and I thought it was poignant, and it said this. It said, the National Labor Relations Board, the National Labor Relations Act, OSHA, the Department of Labor, those were the compromise. What preceded that was violence.
Yeah, chaos.
Chaos, uncertainty, pickets, strikes, Pinkertons, people getting shot.
Haymarket.
What preceded all of that was violence.
Yeah.
And if that's what you, the government, want, if you want to get rid of the compromise that brought peace to the labor movement, that settled interstate commerce, that made the economy what it is today. You want to get rid of all those protections, feel free, because what's going to happen is you're going to reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You're going to go back, and we're going to have workers, when they eventually realize that it's not about the bathrooms, it's not about DEI, it's that they have been distracted and they're getting ripped off. They're getting stolen from, right? Their hands are in our pockets.
The rights are being taken away.
The rights are being taken away. And at some point, the workers... Because look, what does everybody in the country have in common for the most part? They work. Right? I mean, that's a pretty common denominator. We all work for a living.
Right.
Right? We don't work for fun. We work for a living. Right?
Sometimes we have fun at work.
I mean, we have fun at work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where... You know, I continue to say be careful what you wish for, but there's going to come a time when the workers are going to realize, like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't sign up for this. We're getting...
We should check with the Department of Learning from the Past.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
But continue to treat us like dogs, we'll become wolves. Yeah. You know what I mean? And wolves form a pack, right? And that's what needs to happen, is workers need
wolf
to...
Wolf pack.
That's exactly right, Ed. Wow, nothing gets past you.
The wolf pack. I like it.
You like it?
I always go with the old, if you kick a dog enough times, the dog's going to bite you. But I like the wolf pack even more.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen. And you just need to understand billionaires, millionaires, the government, that eventually we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to get sick of it. And you're going to go back to self-help, back to people, wildcat strikes, shutting down industries, right? Stopping commerce.
Yeah.
And if that's what you want, keep going down the road that you're going, because that's what you're going to get.
And one day you're going to say uncle.
Yeah, that's right. Because guess who's got the power? At the end of the day, who cares? They got the money. Whoop-de-doo. But without our labor, they're nothing.
We got the numbers.
We have the numbers. Of course we have the numbers. And they're only rich because of our labor. Without our labor, without our members' labor, our workers, whether you're union, non-union, there's hundreds of millions of working bees in this country. Eventually, you know, they're going to get fed up. So anyway, that's my soapbox speech.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're getting really good on the stump.
Well, I am going to be running for president.
Nobody likes to hear Ken talk more than Ken.
That's listen, I'll be the first to admit that.
Let's wrap it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, thank you guys so much. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to our sponsors, all of our supporters. It means the world to us. Keep the messages coming. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next week right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.